No, nothing is in secret. Nothing is hidden. Everything is exposed through and by God. His people are not to be blindsided, are not to be surprised by anything that is going to happen. We need to have comfort and security. In Ezekiel, again, in chapter number 33, it tells us that the watchman's duty is to sound the alarm, to blow the trumpet, to let the people know, to warn them so that they can get prepared and be ready for what is coming. If the watchman doesn't blow, then everything and every casualty of that war that is coming will be held at his hands. We need to realize that there is not only just a spiritual storm that is brewing out there for us, but there is one also coming in our world, and I hope through the help of the Holy Spirit this morning to be able to enlighten you to that. There's time coming when Satan, I believe, and even now is starting to send a slumber onto God's people, a tiredness of keeping up what we're keeping up, a nonchalantness. Folks, church ain't about coming and just shaking hands and saying, "How you doing?" We call it a service. It is a service to God. It is a service that we offer to Him. It is a meeting to hear His Word and to lift up worship to Him. Yes, we should come giving worship, not seeing what we can take from worship. I can speak from experience. There's a lot of times, brother, that I think, well, I really didn't get nothing out of that worship service, simply because in the whole of it, Brother Scott, I'm not supposed to get nothing out of the worship service. I'm supposed to give it to Him who is King. We struggle with that because we want this type, this way, and the things that we feel, but don't you think that we just might feel a little bit more if we gave a little bit more? Because He has given us everything. Look, folks, our worship, what we give to God, is going to be the thing that is going to get us through these dry times that I see is coming. There is going to be spiritual hurts. There is going to be emotional hurts that are going to come. They're on the edge. They're on the brink. I have suffered one this week myself. Took me a long time to overcome it. And it's time that we realize one thing. We must rely on God's Word and on His Scripture. And I'll be the first to tell you, most of the hurts that are going to come to us are going to be perfectly unintentional. Nobody is going to intend to hurt you. But Satan is going to see that it seems bigger than what it is, that it's more than what it is, and even if it is intentional, what really doesn't matter if I don't come to you and tell you? Because after all, that's what we're supposed to do. In Acts 27, I guess we'll turn there. Acts 27, very familiar scripture. It's about the shipwreck of Paul. And let's pick up, I guess, verse number 10. In getting ready for the storm, there's the first thing that we have to do. And we'll take this one verse of Scripture, and then you may be seated. Paul speaking, he said, "And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives." You may be seated. Paul told the people who knew more about boating than he did, who knew more about ships and the weather than he did. He tried to explain to them, "We don't need to be doing this. It is hard for us who see ourselves as very knowledgeable table and of being on top of our game, it is hard for us to take instruction from anybody other than ourselves. We will get bent on going our own way and not being turned, not listening to it, even though we know that it might be coming from God, even though it may be coming from His Word. We're not going to change. We're not going to turn. We're not going to back up. And I'm telling you by the voice of God that you need to hear me this morning. You'll not make it through the storm that is coming by that Word. And if there's ever been a time that I have felt the voice of God speaking to His people, it's this morning. Folks, we need a change. The Lord is warning us, and I'm sounding the trumpet, not only to you, but when I say us, He is telling me the same thing. Paul said, I perceive. I'm telling you, if we keep on the path that we're on, it's going to cost us something. Verse number 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. Why? Because they're telling him what he wanted to hear. Come on, Rob. Tell me what makes me feel good. Now, you know I'm an anointed preacher. You know I got television shows. You know we got internet. You know we got CD. You tell me how good I am. Come on. I know that God would never find anything wrong in my personality. You've been enough time with me. You, Cheryl, Debbie, those who spent some time, you know it's a perfect one. If everybody was like me, this world would be a better place, wouldn't it? Exactly. Why would God send a warning to me to change? Why would God speak to His people and tell us we need to be careful? Could every decision could I make a decision and it be wrong? We have one of our leaders at work who the best time for him to make a decision is when he's mad, and he makes that decision and I'm going to stick with it because that's what I made, even though it might be wrong. Folks, we as God's people need to avoid that. That's dangerous. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more. He believed what he wanted, Brother Jimmy, more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Do you believe your dreams, your desires, and your judgments more than what you do the Word of God? Do you believe that you are just so mentally together that the Holy Spirit, Carly, made a mistake when he wrote that? He didn't know Terry was coming. There's no exceptions in here for me. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, which lies towards the south, northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they have obtained their purpose, loosening thence, they sailed close to Crete. Paul missed it, didn't he? He missed what God was telling him. The wind softly, everything's calm and fine. I believe when Jeremiah was preaching, they said, boy, he preaches good. Too bad he ain't talking about somebody else. Because he can't be talking about us. Laodicea sat back and said, we got it all together. We're in need of nothing. Got it going on. Financially fine. Good shipyards. Plenty of money coming in. Nice houses. Good donkeys. Take us anywhere. Nice carts. We don't need a thing. Don't know what the scripture says. I mean, not all the extra stuff, but it says that they set back, was increased with goods, and needing nothing. And did not know. Did not know that they were wretched. Miserable. Well, wait a minute. How could that church be wretched, naked, miserable, poor, everything that he used to describe them there? If they had money? Because we all know that if you got stuff, that's God blessing you. The more stuff you have, the more godly you are. My scripture says when they start to say that, it says, from such turn away. Supposing godliness is much gain. We're not born into this thing as a life of comfort. To go our own way. And to do our own thing. You know, one of the saddest verses that I find in the scripture is in Judges, when it says that Delilah told Samson, the Philistines, they here, pal. And Samson said, that's okay. I'll just jump up and I'll shake myself like I always did. And the end of that verse says, but he didn't know. What is it, Jimmy? Why did that happen to Samson? Because he played with the covenant that he had with God. He toyed with it. He dangled it in front of Delilah. Pull it away. Dangle it up there. Pull it away. Until one day it slipped. You cannot tell the enemy if I run around telling everybody, oh, I got $9,000 I keep in my house in a jar on the third shelf in the cabinet. I'm going to run across somebody that's going to say, huh, you do. And we're going to come back from the grocery and my jar is going to be gone. Don't get in a shape where you think that you can just go on your way, keep your own plan, keep your own decisions, keep going your own way, and don't know when the Spirit of God leaves you. In these last days, in these times, in this storm to come, you're going to have to allow yourself to be led. I know that's hard for us. I guess they call them A personalities. Is that? Somebody help me. Who?
Type A personality.
Yeah, type A's. That's hard for us and you and them. But we're going to have to relinquish some of our pride, relinquish some of our self-willed, and allow ourselves to be humble and think maybe I don't have the whole total of everything. Maybe there is something in me that I need to change. Maybe my drive is in overdrive. Maybe I'm going down the wrong path and the Lord might need to bring us over a little bit. I'm not saying that anybody here has turned and walked away from the Lord and just going in a different direction. But if this is our path and we start to waver a little bit, the Holy Spirit's there to kind of guide us. To keep us in. Verse number 15. No, verse number 14. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclodon. The storm hit. Now, had they listened and prepared what the Lord had sent them, what kind of shape would they have been in? They would have been in a place of safety. But now it's a whole nother ball game. Can I tell you, when you refuse to listen to the Lord, It's going to put you in a place where it ain't the way you perceive it to be. Everything you had planned changes. I picture them sis in my mind when I was reading this and studying it last week. I see them guys heading out and the wind's all calm and they say, see them guys, them preachers, them prophets, they're all the same. They're nutcases. They've been hollering about this and that. There ain't nothing happening. Look, it's a perfect day. And I see them going around the tip of that island and they see that cloud. And I don't know, have you ever been out in the yard and it'd be just like it's sunny out there now and you feel a breeze and then something changes in that breeze and you're like, it's going to rain. And I see them all sitting there talking, sis, and all of a sudden that breeze hits them and they go, something ain't right, boys. Maybe we should have listened to him. Oh, shut up. We've been on the sea long enough. We know what we're doing. Your rock padon comes all the time. That ain't no big deal. We'll make it through. Everything's going to be fine. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so we were driven. In this storm coming, just as we have in this last little bit, people continually try to do everything that is in their power to make things work. Again, we start to rely on our plan. Well, I know that if I do this, this will work. Never considering that we should have changed when God told us to. We should have took a different direction. Yeah, but it's always like this, Rick. It's been like this. You know how many times I've set sail? You know how many times I've been in this boat? Shipping goods is my life. I can look at the clouds and I can tell. I can look at the times and I know this is just a little rough, but it'll pass. How many other times has the stock market went up and went down and went up and went down? How many times? How many times has unemployment went up and we always prosper and come out of it? This is just another thing, Scott, that we're going to go through, and I perceive in about a year everything's going to be great. Sell on, brother. The Lord is sending us a clear message, both spiritually and naturally this morning. Get prepared for what's coming. Now, as I've said before, we're real good about taking a warning for a minute or two. But if it don't happen in a month, they missed it. And when Paul told them this, I imagine there was some talk about it. And then when they decided to set sail, they looked out and said, well, it's all soft breeze blowing. That's perfect sailing weather. We'll get up close to the islands, knock all the wind off of us. We got the plan. We'll make it. Because the ship's master had a plan. He couldn't winter in that small town. He needed a big town, see? We got to get somewhere where we can be prosperous. And being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day we lightened the ship. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackle of the ship. When the storm hits, it's not the time for you to lighten the load. You should have lightened the load back when you got the warning. You should have heeded what God said. But there's a lot of us that are packing a whole lot of baggage that we don't need to be packing. There's a whole lot of us carrying a whole lot of things up here that the enemy has dropped in our minds starting now that we need to cast out with our own hands. We need to start having more trust in God and less trust in our own abilities. Well, now wait a minute. I don't know if I like that. What does the scripture tell us? Jesus said, you believe in God? Believe also in me. Have we become so good at providing for ourselves, we don't have a need? I remember when I got laid off, it was a very sobering fact. I knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I go in, I work, I get a check, I'll come home. The money's always coming in. Until they said, don't come in. Well, now, wait a minute. I got to come to work because I got a plan. See, I planned to come in. So therefore, you got to let me come in. And you got to pay me because that's my plan. Well, my plan was disrupted by decision of a man. Lighten the load. There's some things that you just need to quit packing. We'll take this Holy Spirit. There's some folks that for whatever reason, you have a deep root of bitterness. And this morning, y'all need to let it go. Right here. I don't know if it be somebody at work, if it be a friend, if it be a whatever. I really don't like to start naming things because then we say, well, now Holy Spirit, if He names what I am, then I know it's You. I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit's saying, it's there, you ain't got over that yet. You need to pluck it out. Get rid of it. Paul's saying, if you don't, I perceive it's going to give you some loss. Because if the root's there, it may not come up today. It may not come up tomorrow. But you better bet that thing's going to grow. And the enemy's going to pick at it. My grandmother, I perceive to be somebody who really, a lot of times, she don't know what she's talking about. When you're a kid and she says you can't have too many donuts or too many cookies, what is she talking about? You can eat the whole pack and it never hurt you. I got a cut on my leg. I got 14 stitches. And I sat in there on the couch and I done this. I don't know if you ever had stitches, but boy, it feels good to itch it when it's healing. You don't mind me using your hand for a minute? Won't be too bad, brother. She'd come around that corner with that grandmother radar, and she'd say, if you don't quit that, it'll never heal. You've got to quit picking at it, or it'll never... You have got to quit picking at it, or it will never heal. It will be infected. And you'll have to go back to the doctor. I don't know if they do this, but it scared the daylights out of me and I left it alone. They'll cut the stitches out. They'll have to open it up and they'll have to clean it out and you'll be spending time in there. Now leave it alone. You know, didn't it? It's nearly as bad, Brian, after that. And if we've got that thing in us, 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, 20 year, back when you're a kid, if that root is there, I'm telling you, remove it today. Get that thing out of there. Lighten the load. Because you're not going to be able to worry about all of that other stuff when all of this stuff's going on and people are coming to you saying, Jackie, Ricky, I need a hope for tomorrow. I need something. What is going on? I know the end is near. I mean, just by the things, even the news reporters, the magazines, everybody, they're saying something's getting ready to happen. The lost world can see it. And then when we hear it trumpeted, we say, well, we've heard that. So many prophecies in the Scripture that has come fulfilled. Jerusalem being made his country, Israel being made his company, country. Jerusalem now being their capital. Dead Sea when it gives life again. Everybody said, nothing will grow there. About 6 years ago, they found an underground spring. You know what they done? They drilled it, brought the water up. There's 60 farms now on the bottom half, southern half of the Dead Sea. What people perceive to be impossible in prophecy has come to pass. And we're the generation seeing it. We do not want to become and get underneath a strong delusion. We need to let our faith come alive in us. Verse 20 says, this is our next thing. In the coming storm, don't give up hope. And when there was neither sun nor stars, many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. Listen, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I'm telling you, folks, we, above all people, we have hope. And when the sun... Hear me prophetically. What does the sun do out there? Does what? Shines. So we can do what? And even at night, when the moon is out, we can, and we can be led by the stars. Hear me prophetically. When the time comes that the sun, the moon, and the stars are gone, don't let your hope be gone. There's something in your spirit that will draw you in the way to go. You may seem like and feel like you don't know what's going on, but let me tell you what. God that is sitting in heaven, the coming storm, Brother Kelly, is not a surprise to Him. He's seen the beginning from the end. And we got to remember, the whole purpose for Christ's death is to reunite mankind with God and for Him to come and get us and bring us home. Amen. Don't give up hope. Build your faith. Make it huge. Believe the impossible. We need to get where we can say, know that when God said, Talitha Kumai, the little girl got up. I don't know if they do that now. That's the thing. We don't know. And we should. Now, am I saying that you can go around and you're going to raise the dead at every funeral? God's will be done. We need to put this thing together. But how many people know of a miracle healing? How many people have seen miracles of God? Look at the children. When they were little and come out of the womb, and that doctor said, I don't think they smack them anymore because they said that's bad. And that breath went in them. Is that not a miracle? So much of a miracle, they go beyond the birth of the child. Let's go into the fermentation of the egg. And when it's actually fermented, they got a doctor that tells them, for some reason, it's like a flash of light hits. That's God dropping Rick into the egg. Because He knew you. Rick, He knew you. Cheryl, He knew you. Ray, Robert, He knew you when heaven was looking around saying, who is worthy to go down and receive mankind? Who's worthy to go down there and die for their sins? And God looking out through time says, come on, we need somebody because baby Ray needs a Savior. Little Cheryl and her twin need to be saved. Yeah, but God, why now? Because They're way down in the future. We have to believe. We have to believe. We need to believe in our God. Don't lose hope. Front page on the paper. The Buddhists are sowing seeds. A few weeks back, the Muslim religion is the fastest religion. Islam is the fastest growing religion. People come to me at work and they say, "What do you think about that?" I don't worry about it. "What do you mean?" "There's only one way to get to heaven." There's all kinds of clubs. You can join any kind of club. It's only one way. Well, are you saying that a Muslim person can't be saved or a Buddhist can't be saved? Oh, no, not at all. They can. They're just going to have to step out of the aisle and come the way of Christ. One way. He said, "Try to come up any other way, same as a thief and a robber." With this coming, hear me, folks. Do not give up hope. Do not give up hope. If you're not in God, get some hope. Get some faith. They continue to sell. And what's going to please God is the servant he finds serving people. Now look, here's the ship. They wouldn't listen to Paul. Did Paul go down in the belly of the ship? Say, "That's fine. I'm a God man. I'll go to heaven if I die. If I don't, I'm going to go to Rome. I'm going to preach to them. Doesn't matter. They should have listened to me before they ever left the ship." They wouldn't listen. Let them get the shipwreck the way they need. I ain't moving. They should have listened to me. They did not know who I was. They didn't know the Word of God was with me. They didn't know till the flood came and carried them away. I'm just going to sit here. Whatever happens, happens. Well, no, what did Paul do? Paul says, hey guys, look, I know we've thrown everything out of the ship we can throw out. We've set the sails down. We're driven wherever we're driving. We got no control. And then you always said, brother, cheer up. Cheer up, because I believe in the God that spoke to me. Amen. He says, take some meat. Y'all been fasting trying to get out of this thing. Take some meat. Eat. It's good for you. You're going to need it. And it says they all felt better. Sometimes we just got to give people some meat. And when this storm hits, we got to be able to give people some meat to eat. They got to know that the end ain't over with yet. It may look like it. It don't look good. We know what's going to happen. We know that sandbar's there. We know the ship's going to hit. We know. He said, don't worry about it. Pull the anchors up. You're anchored in the wrong thing. I don't care what kind of anchor you're anchored in. If you ain't anchored in God, it ain't going to hold. So they pull the anchors up, and they start going in. Can I tell you? They started here. Oh, we'll take that too, Holy Spirit. They wasn't good enough with just doing it their way. The soldier said, I can see them on the ship now, brother. Steve, they say, well, first of all, we ain't used them lifeboats. We just put it down, we'll get in it, and we'll get out of here and let them do what they do. Paul seen them and said, oh, no. Don't use your own ways to get out of this. You didn't listen when we left. Listen to me now. If you leave now, it'll cost you your life. But if you stay in the boat, God has told me, not a life will be lost. They had a decision to make. The guy sitting there with the ropes, and they looked over to the guy who's supposed to be in charge, who is in charge. Well, I got it all going on, and I know what we'll do. And they're like, okay, what's the word? And at this time, he listened. And they cut the lifeboats loose and let them hit. Just let them go on. And did you know that ship that they were all on never made it to harbor? Cheer up, because in the middle of the storm, the ship blew all to pieces. That's where we're supposed to say, yay. Oh, wait a minute. When we're saved, everything's supposed to be great. We're following God. If you're following God, nothing happens, Scott. Do we believe the Apostle Paul was following God? Was he on the ship? Did the ship make it to harbor? But what happened was, everybody on the boat got wet. And it says, the guy now, the centurion starts giving him some orders. I believe he said, go find Paul. We sounded out and we're close. We're close to destruction because we've sounded and we've heard the sound. Say that again. We've sounded and it's returned back and we know we're close. You go find Paul. See what he says. And then a centurion says, those that can swim, don't wait for the wreck. Jump in and swim when you see the land close enough you can make it. Bam! The ship bust apart. And it says, every life was saved because they made it to shore. Some swam and some on boards. If I cannot tell you nothing else, let me make one thing clear. You may look at yourself as not being able to swim, but in the storm to come, hear me clear. God Himself is going to provide a board for you to float to safety on, because He'll not have one hair on His children. You'll never see the righteous. You will make it in. Stay with the ship. Stay with God. Listen to what His Word says, and He will provide your way. I don't want to swim. I just want this to be over. Sorry. It didn't happen like that for him. And I'll be the first to tell you, folks. I know some of you have served in the services. But as for me, I can tell you, there's nobody loves this country any more than I do. And it tears my heart out day by day to see this stuff. Sometimes I just got to shut it off because it's so heartbreaking. But I am telling you, Jesus is getting assembled. Saturday, they come by my office door and they say, hey, Terry, what's going on? I said, I hear approaching hoofbeats. Oh. What? Opened it up. And you know what the young man said? Bobby, he said, I know something's up. I just feel it. But I don't know what to do about it. Come to the right place. Let me tell you what to do about it. And then what really surprises him, Rick, is I tell him, Rick, I say, you get saved, I don't care what church you go to, as long as the Bible-believing church and what they preach comes out of Scripture. And that's where the Lord's leading you? Well, I thought I need to come to your... No, you don't need to come to my church. You can. Welcome. Get in a family of God. That's all I care about. Paul didn't say all the soldiers on this side with me. You'll be saved. The rest of them, they ain't with us, so they just be crashed. When they got on the line, on the island, everything was smooth then. Nope. Satan couldn't destroy him at the sea, so he tries to get Paul on land. He latches onto him. The thing that was... Oh, brother, it feels good. The thing that was supposed to kill Paul, but because he followed God, the snake latched onto his hand, and he shook it off in the fire. I believe when that thing latched onto him, he said, you got to be joking me. After what I've been through the last 14 days. And that's the way it's going to be, folks. As you're going through the storm, there's going to be things that will come after that storm you're going to say, And the people looked and said, he's going to die. He surely must have sinned. He's going to die. That never happened to him. He's going to die. Watch him. Watch him. He's going to fall over any minute. Maybe he had Wheaties for breakfast because he ain't falling over. But he will. Nobody lives when that snake gets a hold of him. Nobody can make it through what you're doing. You just got to fall over. He ain't a sinner. He's a God. Paul's a God because that didn't affect him. And not wanting to get heretic, but I want you to hear me in this. I'm not a heretic, okay, brother? Okay. Hear me in this. When you weather the storm, and when things start to happen in your life, and you don't fall apart, and you keep putting wood on the fire, and you just keep building fire for other people to get warm, people are going to think you're a God man. They're going to think you got it going on. When they need answers, they're going to come looking for you. Paul, let's get an altar call. If you need to pray, the altar's open. If there's a root in you, I'm telling you, the waters are troubled. You know, I don't, it's between you and the Holy Spirit. If you need to pray for strength, it's open. You need salvation, it's open. You come, I'll pray with you. I'll help you in any way I can. Robbie will. Scott will. We'll help you find the answer that you need. But it's just this important. God don't sound a warning for no reason. He's a whole lot better than our weathermen. He knows us inside and out. And what's coming, folks, we need to be prepared for. We need to realize, as I told them in Sunday school, conviction of the Holy Spirit is not condemnation. Conviction lets you know something's wrong. Just like the nerves in my body lets me know when something's wrong so I can get it fixed. Children, the Lord's ready for you. He's going to correct every problem that you got. If there's something you've been carrying for a long time, drop it here. If you need salvation, drop it here. If there's been a host of fear built up in you over the things to come, my future, what do I do? Will this happen? Will that happen? Come and drop it here. Worst thing is for me not to know how to swim and the Lord's given me a board and I say I'd rather drown. Heal your children, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you this week, Father, that the things that are brought before you soon, Lord, quicker than I can even imagine, Father, that you will begin to give the answers. And that something inside of them spiritually, Lord, something inside of them spiritually will just begin to change.